Hello, you are listening to the Nintendo Switch UK podcast.
Hello and welcome to episode 112 of the Nintendo Switch UK podcast. I am Mike and I'm joined by Al. Hello, Al.
Good afternoon, Michael, to use your proper Sunday name.
Thursday afternoon it is now. Yeah, it's a weird one this week because it's just myself and you. Anton and I had a week of various other things going on, and if I'm perfectly honest, I was not feeling 100% myself this week. So we did take a bit of a delay in recording, but as we always say, it's better to be healthy and ready to go than to try and take on too much, which is the opposite of what I often do. But this week I thought we'll just hold off a bit, and thankfully you were accommodating, Al.
Yeah, we often say that, do we? Yeah, you're right. I think I say that every single day. Yes, it's a very good point. It's not a problem. Although it's going to be very interesting. I was thinking about this when I was going through making our notes for today. Well, I say making our notes. Anton made me most of the notes because Anton, but I sort of fleshed them out a bit and brought them a bit up to date. But today is now Thursday. We're probably going to record the next show, I'm guessing, on Sunday, which means we'll have about 3 days worth of Nintendo news to, you know, squeeze into our next episode. That'll be fun.
The cool thing is, though, that with the Switch, there's so much to talk about anyway that we could quite easily find a way of making
it. There's a lot of stuff I've had to omit this week simply because we don't have time to talk about it. So we will easily fill another episode in 3 days' time. No problem at all.
Now, one of the things we have both been playing is an online game that we're going to talk about a bit later on. We're going to leave that till later because it is in our items of things to talk about. But what else have you been able to play this week?
Well, I finished my my uni course for the semester, so I've got a week off. So I've now finished Spider-Man. It is done. It is going away. I have played a bit more Stardew Valley. I had every intention of playing the demo of Miitopia, which I believe dropped this week. I saw it, but I've not got it yet. And as of this morning, I've just started playing Detroit Become Human. And I'm undecided about it. I think it could be really, really, really good. But at the same time, I get really bored playing games that are entirely story-driven, that don't have any action. And these are so far entirely story-driven with just walk over there, press down, walk over there, press up, walk over there, make a decision. Sorry, fall asleep. We'll see.
Okay, interesting. Well, I haven't played it, so I can't make a comment on it, but well, what have I been playing? I'm trying to think now. Lots of random little things. I haven't had an awful lot of time to play anything in huge depth. I've played a bit more of Night Call, which is the kind of taxi. It's a bit like Neo Cab, actually, but with more murder in it. And quite enjoying that. That's quite a cool story. I've played a little bit of Stranger's Wrath, which is the Oddworld game. Abe's Odyssey, but late, not Abe's Odyssey, later on, Stranger's Wrath. And actually, I'm really enjoying that. It's really good. It's a really good, fun game. Played a bit more Trivial Pursuit, which I enjoy, and a couple other bits and pieces, including one which we'll talk about a bit later on. And I don't want to spoil yet because it is one of our news items. But it's been I haven't had a huge amount of time this week to play much, but what I have played, I've enjoyed. And yeah, looking forward to... Maybe I think I'm away for that week, so I might take the Switch with me and try and play, especially if it's raining. I never want it to be raining when you go away, but if it is, I'm ready.
Sometimes it's quite nice sitting inside playing board games, reading books and playing the Switch. But it just dawned on me the other day, you and I have now physically seen each other, a couple of times in the last few weeks? We've gone for a walk around the park, sat in your back garden. Why did we not take your Switch outside and play in your back garden?
It crossed my mind as soon as you left, to be honest. I was like, why don't we play the Switch? But we'll maybe have to do that next time. Hopefully it's a bit warmer because it was snowing today and yesterday, which is not ideal. And it's, you know, it's May. So come on, let's get real here. It's not what we need. But I do think we should move on and talk about the news.
Tell us that people want to know.
No More Robots have announced Let's Build a Zoo for the Nintendo Switch. It's a pixelated zoo tycoon game. It's coming out in summer 2021. I do quite like a tycoon style game. I get very obsessed with them when I do play them. I'm not sure if this is one that I'm going to be buying myself, but what's your thoughts on it?
Well, you know, I have very mixed thoughts on these things because I love a builder game. I think I grew up playing them. I played Theme Park and all these things. But there still are so many of them out there that you have to do something different to stand out. So this one's got its own little unique hook. So you're building a zoo. Yep, very much just Roller Coaster Tycoon. But you're also breeding the animals, and there's some really cool things. I mean, you can breed a crocodile and a duck and Greta Crocoduck. you can breed an owl and a capybara and get an owlybara. And I kind of like that idea. It's nothing major. It's not groundbreaking. It's not revolutionary. They've done these things in billions of games before, but I quite like it. It's just, it's cute. It looks quite big. Hopefully it plays well on the Switch, because at the end of the trailer, it sort of zooms out to show you the extent of a park, and it's just massive with so much stuff going on the screen. Being pixelated, I imagine it should run just fine. But there's a lot of processing going on in the background to decide what all's happening, so it'll be really interesting to see how this plays out. I'm kind of excited.
Yeah, the vegan in me is really struggling with the whole concept of it, but I do
You're going to hate the moral bit then, because you can be a good zookeeper and make happy animals, or you can basically turn your zoo into a big meat factory, apparently.
Well, but at least there's the option, at least, and also it is a video game at the end of the day. It's not real. So I suppose from that perspective, but I do like the art style, I must admit. And, the idea of having little crocoducks, owlybaras and chikaus running around does sound kind of cute in some ways. So I think the art style is definitely for me. Not sure if I'm going to play this particular one. It gives me Viva Pinata vibes with the names, though.
Yeah. crossover names. I forgot about that.
All the weird names that they used to have. But certainly an interesting one and one to go for if you are into those kind of pixely tycoon games. Next up, Hatin. And Hatin with an H announced Out of Line for the Nintendo Switch. It's a platformer. It's based around a light spear rather than, like a lightsaber, I guess.
I wondered where you're going to go with that. Yeah, this one is developed by a company called Nerd Monkeys. I just love that name. That is a great name, Nerd Monkeys.
That'd be the name that you would give a company.
Pretty much, yeah. And it's basically a puzzle platformer that, as you say, you're at the beginning of the game, you're given this sort of transforming light spear, and you basically just have to solve problems through trial and error. I mean, it's not groundbreaking in any way, but the art style is really, really nice. It's very much hand-drawn, sort of arty, painted style, and the gameplay does look intriguing, in as much as during the trailer you see two or three different versions of yourself at one point going, is this all simultaneous? Is this a dream? What is going on here? And it's very story driven. It should be kind of cool. There's a lot of stuff to like in here. I mean, is it floating your boat?
I do like the art style again. I think this is very, it reminds me of Child of Light and those kind of games. So from that perspective, I'm not sure if I'm 100% sold on the story, but again, I wasn't sold on Child of Light before I played it. And often that is just because I look at a game and go, am I going to enjoy this? And actually, sometimes you just need to actually have a go and play it. So it's one that I might pick up in a sale if it comes to sort of steal Anton's saying for every game. But I don't think I'll be buying it full price. But I do like the art style, I must say. It does look very, very pretty.
It sure does. Coming out summer at some point. We've not got an exact date, but I'm sure it will drop onto one of the, not the prequels, what's the other one you do?
Roundup.
You'll cover it in Roundup at some point for the Patreons.
We definitely will. Tilting Point, they've announced and released SpongeBob Krusty Cook-Off for the Nintendo Switch. You can prepare and cook meals for the various EOS guests of the Krusty Krab. That's what it says here.
I love a good typo.
Yeah. What's your thoughts? I mean, it looks like SpongeBob, so...
Yeah, I mean, it's a very, 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 very successful mobile game. It's been downloaded something like 35 million times. It's a huge hit. But on mobile, it's free to play with a whole lot of microtransactions where you buy boosts. It costs, I think, between £2 and £4. Here, it's going to cost £29.99 to buy it outright, which seems very expensive. What is basically a mobile puzzle game. But on the flip side, you don't need to buy any microtransaction-y type boosts or stuff. And the game itself does get quite well reviewed. It's frantic and challenging, but not to the point of frustration, where people just seem to really enjoy playing it. And if you're a fan of SpongeBob, all the usual cast are there. You can flip burgers or whatever it is you're doing under the sea. You're basically making a whole lot of food, serving it in your restaurants to characters that you know and love. Mm-hmm. Albeit, I don't think you and I, neither of us really watched SpongeBob, did we? We weren't SpongeBob generation, really.
Yeah, well, I mean, there were people that loved it of our age group at the time, but it's probably not one that... SpongeBob... I enjoy it when it's on and it's funny and it's good, but it's not something that I, as you say, they weren't in our sphere of growing up. So we just missed it no more, I guess. So
yeah, we're slightly too old. And to be fair,
my brothers love it.
Yeah. So, I mean, they were the right age. But we're going to have to wait a little bit because it has been announced. It is coming to America. In fact, it might already be out in America and Canada and Mexico and Brazil. But they've not actually announced the European or Asian release yet. But I think it's pretty much guaranteed to follow in the next couple of weeks.
Excellent. Okay, next up, Thief Simulator 2 is coming from Ultimate Games. It's a first-person stealth game coming out in 2023. Now, I've got the first one on the Switch and played it a couple of times. I haven't spent an awful lot of time in it. I did like it. It was rough around the edges. This looks like... I always felt with the first game, if they had more time, more budget, more money, essentially, they could make a really good game from this. It felt very kind of like Goat Simulator, you know, that kind of like it's a simulator. It's not quite there, but it's got really good ideas. It has great ideas. This one looks a bit more fleshed out. My first question, though, Al, if you're a thief, you've gone to all the bother of having all the tools, you're excellent at your job, you're stealth, why are you wearing fingerless gloves?
Because that's what they're supposed to wear. That's what the movies tell you all burglars are supposed to wear. I mean, it makes no common sense because you can leave your fingerprints everywhere.
Unless you've like cut off the prints on your fingers, it seems like a silly move, but whatever. I mean, it looks like this one could be a big improvement on the first one. And if it is, I could be really interested, I think.
Yeah, the first one was pretty well reviewed. I mean, I think generally your summary over there represents most of what the internet said. All the reviews I ever found of it said, this is actually quite a good game with a lot of potential. It's just a bit rough around the edges. It doesn't look very pretty. Whereas this one looks really pretty, actually. I mean, it's very much, how do I describe it? Kind of a, I want to call it a gritty look. I think the lighting in it is very harsh, deliberately, and it just makes it kind of look kind of grimy and...
Yeah, it reminds me of really like almost like a TV show. Like it's like it's they're trying to go on for like a CSI look about it. So it's a bit more detective-y looking than the you know, gritty is a good word, definitely.
Yeah, and it's really free. I mean, you're basically given, here's a house, go figure out how to burgle it. Or here's a whole street, go figure out how to burgle it. There's so much opportunity in these games for being creative and also for getting caught. And the trailer itself is kind of hilarious and worrying at the same time because it's all about sort of stealing back from the government and basically encourage you to be a bad boy or girl or other, so to speak. And the game has a lot of potential. I'm confident that they're going to nail this system. They were getting, what, 6s, 7s, 8s out of 10 last time. I reckon this will be up another level.
It could well be, and I think the fact they're not releasing it till 2023 might be in its favour as well, just that extra time just to get this right, because it's an ambitious type of game, you know. Next up, Moon Eye Indies have presented Haven Park. It's a calming, wholesome game about a chick looking after a caravan park. Now, this is being compared to Animal Crossing, but actually, I think it's got kind of a short hike vibes for me, somewhere kind of in between, and certainly in terms of the, you know, it's a bit more cartoony looking, but I actually, weirdly, I think I really like this. I think this could be a game of this nature, which I haven't bought into yet, but I might check this one out.
Yeah.
Check this one out.
Oh, very good. Very good. It's an odd one, this, because there's a lot of articles on the internet that were comparing it to Animal Crossing, but I think you're right. It doesn't really look very Animal Crossing-y. I mean, you're taking care of this campsite that I think your grandmother or somebody's left you, or what, there's, I don't know what the backstory is, and you're this little chick running around doing things, and it does look exceedingly calming, very, very nice, but I think with a bit more purpose. So this one's actually a game that was being developed by one sole person, a guy called Fabian, I'm going to mangle a surname, but I'm going to go with Weibel, Weibel, one man game. I love it when these one man games come out, or one person games come out, because they're just, they're full of that person's soul and character and their ideas, and it's just, it's amazing. And I looked at this, the visuals of this really remind me of Tearaway. So it's kind of, you're focusing on the main character, but everything else around the screen's got that kind of blur to make it look like a, like you're looking at a model, you know what I'm getting at?
Mm-hmm.
It just is really, really, really pretty and really, really calming. And I want to love this game already. I've not got it, it's not coming out till summer, but I've kind of fallen in love with just the idea and the visual of it.
Yeah, I'm the same. It's weird because I like the idea of Animal Crossing, but I know I won't commit to it. So I think for me, this looks like it might have more opportunity to commit to, you know, because it's got a bit more of a story potential to it, I think. I mean, that's, and Animal Crossing people are going to hate me for that. That's not what I'm trying to say. What I'm trying to say is it feels like there's more of a definitive sort of line that you follow with what you're doing, which is quite nice in some ways for people like me who, I guess, we're old school. Sometimes the open-ended thing can be a little scary.
I like to have a definite end that I can work to, and then it's done and I can move on to the next thing.
Yeah. Next up, speaking of moving on, due to high demand, McDonald's UK are going to be restricting Pokemon's Happy Meal toys. Not really a big surprise. We all know what it's like as a kid, and with kids, you know, you see the toy and suddenly everyone wants them, and then you want the whole collection, and then before you know it, you've had 17 McDonald's in a week.
Yeah, I mean, this is following on from us. You could either view it as a disaster or a massive success in America, where scalpers were going to great lengths to pretty much buy up every single Happy Meal in the entire country they could to try and get these rare 25th anniversary Pokemon cards that they were giving out as part of the Happy Meal. And they've come to the UK and they've learnt their lesson, and they've decided to limit the number of Happy Meals that one can purchase to limit the number of card opportunities. So that the little kiddy-winkles get their bit of plastic card instead of some grown-up hogging them all to make a huge profit.
Yeah, it's certainly, I'm not surprised there's such high demand, let's put it that way. Speaking of Pokemon, though, the signed Tsunekatsu Ishihara Pokemon card has sold for $250,000. What are you going to do with it now that you've bought it, Al?
In all honesty, this is shocking. I had to go look up who he was. I didn't realise that he was actually the president of the Pokemon company, which does kind of explain why the card is worth so much money, but geez, come on, people. I mean, it's not the most expensive Pokemon card we've had. I think that went for $350,000 off the top of my head.
Yeah, something like that. Crazy.
Yeah, it was insane. And some famous musician, I'm going to say, bought it. I can't remember. I know we talked about this a while ago.
I think it was a rapper, and I forget who
I was going to say it's a rapper, and then I thought I'm going to sound like a Burke if I say that, so I didn't. Yeah. But yes, I'm on the same page.
I mean, certainly it wasn't me and it wasn't you. It definitely wasn't me. 100% I can categorically state that I did not buy either of those.
I think you
cards.
Are protesting too much, Mike. Is that what you've been doing the last few days?
Next up, Miitopia. The demo is out now. Miitopia. I mean, this is kind of such a weird one, but I really want to play the demo. I'm just worried I'm going to like it. It's such a weird game because I know nothing about it other than the hype that we've been told and that we've seen from Anton, but I've liked everything I've seen on it when I've actually watched it, and I love the fact that they call it a Mii-themed RPG, so I'm probably going to play this and try it.
Yeah, I'm on the same page, and I know a couple of our patrons have. In fact, actually in the chat right now, we've got a couple of people listening to us, one of whom, Liam, has tried the demo, didn't expect to like it, and turns out it was actually really rather good. So, yeah, I think we're both going to end up giving this a bash, and we would encourage all of you to give it a bash and let us know your thoughts.
It's a free demo, well worth checking out. Yeah. And I do love it when they do this on games where you don't really know what it's about, because it does give you that opportunity to go, right, got it, now I'm going to buy this. And I think that will be the case, because it is a niche. You know, if you played it the first time round, you'll know all about it, but for a lot of people, this will be their first experience of it, so makes absolute sense.
It does. So drop us your thoughts, nsukp@podcast.co.uk. Genuinely would like to know what you think of it. We're also on the social medias, podcast at... What's our Twitter, Mike? NSUK Podcast, is it?
Yes, NSUK Podcast on Twitter is exactly it. Yes, you are correct.
Yeah, let us know.
This one is the one that Al and I have been playing this week. In fact, we've had two full games, which have been a lot of fun. Super Mario Party gets a surprise update out of nowhere featuring online. Now, we joked about this for a long time. I have a theory, because it's the same team that did the 100 and what is it with the games one? The
50 worldwide games?
50 worldwide games.
Actually, 51 nonsense games, but sure, whatever.
Well, to be fair, it got fairly well reviewed, but that's the same team. And I think they've gone, right, we've finished that. Let's go and do that update we never did 3 years ago. Stupid timing. Should never have taken 3 years. But it's a really good update. It gives us online. It's stable. We've played it together on two occasions. Never had any problems with it. You can also do co-op, as in you can have someone else in your room with you playing and then two people elsewhere playing a game, which is fantastic. And it's just a really solid update.
It really is. And it's really interesting they've chosen to do this now. I suspect your inkling of why is maybe spot on, but actually there's probably some good business decisions that have possibly led to this. Now, in my head, I'm going, why did you not do this a year ago when we're all stuck in lockdown? But Nintendo had Animal Crossing, and that was drawing everybody in. The Animal Crossing bubble's gone. There's nothing much really happening at this exact moment in time, Nintendo first party-wise, that everyone's massively excited about. So why not drop this? Because all of a sudden, a whole load of people with Switches are going to go out and buy Mario Party. Like I just did, because I didn't own Mario Party now. I now do. And a whole lot of other people in our Discord, I think, are aware of buying it because you were raving about it. I've now been raving about it. This was a genius move because it's the party game that everyone enjoys. There's nothing to dislike about this game, and now it's online, finally. I think this was a very shrewd move on Nintendo's part.
And also, on top of that, there's a bunch more mini-games, like loads more mini-games. We've played different ones pretty much. I think we only came across the same one twice. But it's a really good, like the games are all really fun. They're quite challenging in places. Some of them are, you know, some of them we loved, some of them were like, ah, oh, this is so annoying. But they were all, they all felt right for the game. So it's just a really good, like if you, as far as update goes, this is like the gold standard, but they could have been platinum if they'd released it 3 years ago.
I know, and they didn't charge. It was a free of charge DLC update, which was just fantastic. I mean, it's not often I say thank you, Nintendo, but thank you, Nintendo. That was awesome.
Railway Empire have got and received a large DLC. Now, this is one of the games that I actually have failed to review, despite the fact that I have a review copy ready to review. So I will review this at some point, and I may even at some point, if I'm able to, check out what the DLC does. But it is a great, I mean, I have to say, as far as these games go, graphically, it's not the most impressive of them. It's just not. But it's got so much detail, and there's so much in it, and it's such a huge game. A large DLC, I'm like, man, how do you get through the game to then have all the DLC to play? It's great.
I know, it's huge. And there is a lot in this DLC. It's basically a Japanese DLC, so it adds pretty much the whole of Japan. Adds 8 new engines, a whole lot of sort of couple of side missions. It adds a ton of stuff. And if you enjoy these sort of railway games, then this is right up your street. The only negative is we're the last to get it. So it's scheduled to come out on the 7th of May for the PS4, the Xbox One, the PC, and the Switch is getting it later. That's all they said, just later. They've not even given us a date, which is kind of irksome, but hey-ho, it looks like a cool update, and probably and hopefully it'll be worth waiting for.
Yeah, I would imagine it would be. Queen Elizabeth II's 24-karat gold-plated Nintendo Wii goes on sale with buy-it-now price of £300,000. You what?
You could call that a slightly misleading headline, but it's not really. It's THQ, many years ago, but back in, I can't remember what year it was, 2009 maybe, they made a gold-plated Nintendo Wii, and they sent it to the Queen as a publicity stunt, and the Queen's people went, no, and sent it back to THQ. So this gold-plated Nintendo Wii has been kicking around for a while, and it's been bought by various investors over the years, and it's sort of now cropped back up again on eBay with the seller saying, oh yeah, I've had it valued at £1 million, but I'm only looking for 300,000. I want to buy a flat. And I'll provide all the paperwork and all the authentication stuff. And yeah, and how do we look this morning? It is still sitting at buy it now for 300,000 on eBay. Nobody has purchased it yet. But it literally is just a Wii coated in 24 karat gold. Sure.
I mean, first of all, let's not spend £300,000 on it. But what I love about this is the idea that the Queen's team sent it back, not because she didn't want it, but because she was so busy on the Xbox 360 at the time that there was no way with GTA 5 just around the corner that she was going to be spending any time playing the Nintendo Wii. That's what I assume happened. And she was quite, you know, vocal about it. That
one's wrist gets quite enough of a workout doing one wave without waving around one magical stick.
Right, one's wrist gets quite a workout playing the Xbox 360 rather than the Wii. Okay, next up, Skyscraper and 6 new cars have been unveiled for Hot Wheels Unleashed. We've got kind of mixed thoughts on this one. I'm kind of positive about it. You're maybe slightly negative about it. I think it's one that could be really good. I really hope it is. I have fears it won't be. I have hopes it will be, but at least there's some stuff getting unveiled.
Yeah, it's kind of cool, the fact that we are getting quite a lot drip-fed to us as they go through, and there's some pre-alpha footage of these new tracks come out, and you see them racing on them, but I have to say it's not done a whole lot to quell my worry. It still looks like a fairly dull racing game to me. I want to like it. I like the concept of it, and being Hot Wheels, it could be, I'm going to say, big and over the top. This is still big and over the top, but just in a kind of mundane, pedestrian kind of way. I don't know what's missing from it. I'm not excited about this, Mike. Yeah. Are you still excited, or are you beginning to move more towards my camp of worry?
I'm sitting firmly in the middle of the fence.
Ouch.
Right in the middle.
And it's sore, hurt.
But I'm going to stay here for a little longer because I still liked the trailer, weirdly, even though I know what you're saying about it. I get that. But I still think I might like this. So I'm going to hold off and wait till the 39% reviews come in and then go, you were right all along, because it could happen. Fall Guys for the Switch has been delayed, but it's to make way for cross-play, which I think is a very positive move because, you know, we want everyone playing it.
For sure, yeah. I wasn't actually aware that crossplay wasn't already in it. I mean, I've not played it on any of the consoles. I've just seen it online and wanted to play it and assumed that crossplay was part of that, but maybe I was wrong. Yes, I'm very glad that they're going to do that, delay it for that reason. That's a good reason to delay it. Although, now I'm going to backtrack on what I said. No, just release it. Let us play it. Let us get good at it. Then add the crossplay with a patch. That sounds like a much better idea. Go do that.
It'll be great. It'll be great if they ever, I'm hoping they will, but they'll let you decide if you do Switch only or crossplay, because that does worry me too if you do crossplay that we are just going to be annihilated by everyone else because we've not played it. So, but either way, it's a cool game and I'm excited for it to come to the Switch. May the 5th, Microsoft Dungeons received a cross-save update. So this is yesterday this happened. Initially when we were doing this podcast, it would have been in the future. Now it's in the past, but nice little cross-save update. And I know Anton will be very happy about that because he's our kind of resident Minecrafter. But the fact it's got a cross-save is always a good thing.
It is. That's all I'm going to say.
Cool. Let's move on. Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 1 and 2 has a release date, 25th of June. So you got a summer shift of boarding, skateboarding. I think you're quite excited about this one, Al.
I am. I have a lot of love for the Tony Hawk franchise, or at least the early games in the Tony Hawk franchise anyway. They got a bit meh later on, but the early ones, the first three, possibly four, but certainly the first three were excellent. I don't know if it's just because I had more time in my hands, if they were genuinely better games, if I just hadn't got bored of them by that point. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I just loved the earlier ones. I'm so excited that they're coming. And now we've got this release date, 25th of June. That's not far away.
They were very much a vibe of the time as well. You know, they were very much kind of the music was the time. The skateboarding was huge at that point. It just felt, everything kind of fell into place. Tony Hawk's was still absolutely massive at that point in terms of his celebrity state. I mean, still is, but just different, you know. So it really was of the time, and I think there is a nostalgia factor in there too, which is particularly exciting. Next up, Toys for Bob has been moved to being a support team for Call of Duty Warzone. I'll be honest, this sentence, it, you might as well have said any words in a random order.
To be fair, I did have to go and look this one up as well. I think it did originally possibly and come from Anton, but it does make a lot of sense once you look into it. So Toys for Bob are a development company.
Right.
They are part of Activision, and they did Crash Bandicoot 4. It's about time.
Mm-hmm.
They also were involved with Spyro. What's it called? One of the Spyro games. I forget which one it was. But yeah, they're being moved into the Call of Duty Warzone team, and they're basically just working on doing that. But it's an odd one, this, to be fair. There's a lot of reports coming from staffers saying that people have been laid off, made redundant, a lot of people stopped working there, and it's kind of sad. But nobody seems to have any animosity towards it. They all seem pretty happy with the situation. At the same time, you've got Activision going, oh no, nope, nobody's been laid off, nope, nothing's happening, don't look here, they're doing good stuff in games. Yep. So there's something fishy going on there, but at the end of the day, nobody's noses seem to be out of joint, so that's fine. It's just, it's a bit of a shame. I think we know that Crash Bandicoot 4 didn't do nearly as well as it was expected to. It just didn't sell the units that were anticipated.
Yeah.
Which is a shame, especially because you and Anton, so many other people out there love the Crash franchise. They just,
yeah, absolutely.
The game just didn't sell particularly well. So they're just being repurposed.
Ever thought modern video games should be more interesting? At The Gaming Blender, we take randomised genres, mechanics, and make a new game every episode.
I've added permadeath.
We have a survival game of a hardcore simulation, which could be House Flipper, and with the permadeath of XCOM, then that all has to be an action adventure.
Yes.
Oh dear.
Yes.
And sometimes it doesn't quite work.
And you have a construction off over the course of the narrative.
A construction off? The way we can do this is that we ditch your idea entirely.
Entirely.
Check out The Gaming Blender on all your favourite podcast platforms now.
And they did the Spyro trilogy as well.
Yes, that's on.
So they obviously do good stuff, and I think it's definitely, again, you know, it's good to have them on board. Do you think we'll ever see Call of Duty Warzone on the Switch?
I've never really thought about it, to be fair. I suppose we might do. It depends on any.
Well, we had Call of Duty games on the Wii and the maybe we did. The Wii U, but
I suppose maybe they've perhaps got past our hardware limitation at this exact stage. But you never know. With a Switch Pro, it might be, hey, here's a Switch Pro, and look what we've got. Something like that.
Yeah, yeah, the DS as well. Actually, the Call of Duty games on the DS are actually quite good. 4, 3, and 4 are particularly good on the Nintendo DS. Weirdly. So surely if they're on the DS, the Switch can handle it. Maybe not quite the same as, you know, different versions. Illumination founder Chris Meledandri is set to join the Nintendo board. Will this make a difference to the board? What's he going to bring to them? Will he light things up? Is he going to bring that kind of illuminating feeling? What's happening?
Well, this kind of actually links in with one of our rumours, so we may as well just lump them both in together. Mm-hmm. So, at the same time as he's joining the board, Furukawa has said that Nintendo is looking to expand further into the world of animation and other mediums. So we all know Illumination Studios are the ones that are making the Mario movie at the moment.
Yeah.
So if he's being brought on board, his title is outside director. No idea what that means. I don't know if he's standing outside moving traffic around or what he was doing. But either, he's the outside director. That means that the movie's obviously going very well. If Nintendo were not happy, he would not be coming on board. So the movie's going well. They clearly have ambitions to do things like Zelda or Metroid movies. There's going to be a lot because they're not sticking to just the Mario franchise. There is a lot of stuff going to be happening, which may be a good thing, maybe a bad thing. I'm on the fence, much like you. It's painful sitting here, but I can't wait to see the Mario movie, and I'm hoping it lives up to my expectation. But if they start doing what Disney does and churn out so many things one after another that we all get fed up, I'll be a bit sad, frankly, because I like our franchises.
Yeah, I mean, I'm actually quite excited about a Mario movie, to be honest. But because the Sonic movie was so good, and I didn't expect it to be so good, that I think there is potential there. So I'm certainly interested in that.
There is, but I mean, at the same time, whenever they tried to do animations of Mario, I mean, the cartoons in the past, in the 1990s, they were okay, they were all right, but they don't have the best history. And the only reason I'm excited about this one is because it's Illumination Entertainment, and I just love things like the Despicable Me movies. They are so funny. They have some amazing hits. They've also had a couple of misses in the past, so this one could go either way, and if Nintendo's liking it, that's not necessarily a good sign.
Yeah, fair. The Switch has outsold the Game Boy Advance, and this is not as in the last year. This is like all time. This is pretty incredible, Al.
Yeah. Nintendo just had an earnings call, or whatever they call them, this morning, actually. They released a whole load of financial information, and it is doing well, let's put it that way. So last time we were celebrating the fact that it outpaced the Game Boy 3. It had gone past one of them. I forget which console. Was it the DS?
It was the 3DS.
It outsold 3DS, the 3DS. Sorry. And that just feels like a couple of weeks ago, but it has now gone and outsold the Game Boy Advanced, which puts it only behind now the Wii, which is 101 million. Game Boy, the original, at 118 million, and the DS at 154 million.
Yeah.
So that is doing pretty well. It's currently sitting at 85 million, just shy of. That's a pretty good sale. They've had 28.83 million sales in the last year alone, and 2.5, I think, timers of those. Forget it. Either way, 8 million of those were the Switch Lite. The rest of them were all the standard Switch. So they are selling a lot of consoles, dude.
Yeah, it's very impressive, and I don't think they're stopping just yet. Mario Kart 8 Deluxe is still the best-selling game on the Switch. I mean, not a lot to really add to that. It's not a huge surprise, is it, really?
I don't know. It actually did surprise me, that one.
Oh, did it?
Yeah, so they released, in the same earnings call this morning, they released the top 10 games of they've sold for the Switch. So number one is Mario Kart 8 Deluxe with 35 million. Animal Crossing New Horizons at 32 million. I'm waiting for that to surpass Mario Kart. I fully expect it to surpass Mario Kart. And the next one back is a good 10 million lower than that. You've got Super Smash Brothers at 23 million. The list goes down. But something that dawned on me as I was reading this and I was playing Mario Kart Tour on my phone. Do you know off the top of your head what year the original Mario Kart came out? Now, you should know because this formed one of our questions in the quiz a few weeks ago. But do you remember?
The original Mario Kart. Very first one.
Yep. On the SNES.
92?
Correct. What does that make next year, Mike?
Oh, the anniversary.
30th anniversary of Mario Kart. Maybe we'll get our long-awaited 30th anniversary special edition of Mario Kart 9 or Mario Kart 10 or whatever they're going to call it with everything in it. That would be amazing.
I wouldn't be surprised. I think we are ready. I mean, this is, as we said last week, we haven't got an exclusive Switch Mario Kart game yet because it's not, it's Mario Kart 8 was on the Wii U. So, you know, realistically, we don't have that exclusive yet. So, be interesting. Next up, new Pokemon Snap has become the best-selling video game, boxed video game of April in just 2 days. Not a massive surprise. I do think that it's a game that a lot of people will have picked up physically. People reviewing it pretty well. People seem to be quite liking it. I know our Patreon supporters, they've kind of said they've enjoyed it, the ones that have played it so far, which is a good sign.
Yeah, but it's still pretty spectacular. I mean, to outsell everything else in just 2 days is awesome. But at the same time, I was trying to think, there haven't been any major big releases in April that I can think of really on any console, have there? Everything's been out for a while.
Really?
Yeah, so it's a fairly weak month, which maybe explains why it did so well in such a short space of time. But that's still really cool. 2 days is a phenomenal time, and that's not even got sort of any official figures yet. That's come from, where did I read that? That was GameIndustry.biz. Their head, Christopher Dring, shared a statistic saying that they'd outsold it in just 2 days. So, yes, it'll be interesting to see what it does for the rest of the month, because people are snapping it up and generally quite enjoying it, albeit I think the only grumble about the game is it's a bit grindy, but hey-ho.
It's been snapped up, I think is what you were trying to say, Al.
Very well done, Mike.
Thank you. It is time for this week's rumours.
Now, I'm not normally one for gossip, but...
Now, not a lot, because we already mentioned one of them there, but the Mario movie potential rumour there, so we'll skip that one. But we are going to talk about Ni No Kuni. So the ESRB rating board have rated Ni No Kuni 2 Revenant Kingdom for the Nintendo Switch. I have the other one. I haven't played through it yet, but I love the animation of it, and very excited to play through that, just because I really love the way it looks. But Ni No Kuni 2 looks absolutely gorgeous. I would be really happy if this one comes to the Switch.
Yeah, I've never played any of the Ni No Kuni games, but they're well reviewed, and it would be nice to have more. I'm not going to complain, but at the same time, nothing that's registering as a must play on my radar at all.
Yeah, I mean, the cool thing is as well, you don't need to have played one to play two. Two is 35 roughly hours, which is not actually as bad as I thought, because, you know, it is kind of grindy, Ni No Kuni, I think, but it's beautifully done. I think just a really good addition. I'd like that with the Ace Attorney, the new Ace Attorney games that are coming. It just feels like we're getting a lot of titles that maybe we'd missed. And anything from, you know, Studio Ghibli, then it's good, you know? So it's, and their animations are always stunning. You know, that's the thing, is that you always get stunning, not surprisingly, because of what they do, but it's really good that we get more.
It is. Yeah, it's very, very cool. I would love for there to be more rumours this week, but I suspect come Sunday, when we've had a bit more time to dig around, we will probably have quite a big rumour section for this week.
I suspect we will. But we'll just leave it at that, because, you know, there's no point in pretending we have more rumours. We don't. So it's time for a very different kind of quiz.
I have so many questions.
Exactly. Yeah. So we've got no Anton, and sometimes I pit you against the Discord, which I could do, but this week I decided just for funsies to throw something entirely different into the mix. And actually, I suspect I've probably picked this format up from, well, you probably. I've probably heard this on one of your many, many, many radio stations in the past.
Quite likely.
Yeah. So this week I have decided Mike is currently at trailing Anton 8 points to 10. And I thought, since Anton's abandoned us and isn't here, that I might give Mike an opportunity to leapfrog him quite significantly.
Oh, I'm always up for that.
Yes, let's see how well you do under pressure. So, I'm going to give you 10 seconds to name something in a specific category. If you manage to name 10 things in that 10 seconds, you'll get 5 points, Mike.
10 things in 10 seconds. That's a
10 thing. Things in 10. Do you want me to give you 20 seconds? I think that would be
more reasonable. Well, the only reason I'm thinking that is I know there's a radio show that do this format, and they call it's called 5 things, and you get 10 seconds for 5 things.
Well, in that case,
nobody ever wins it.
I'll give you 20 seconds to get 10 things then.
20 seconds is still challenging, but I'll give
it's
it
a pretty big category. You should, if you don't get 10 things from this category, then.
But has it got to start with a specific letter?
No, it doesn't have to start with a letter. It just has to be in the category. And if you don't get 10 things, then you don't deserve to be on this podcast, frankly.
So give me an example.
It would be something like, I don't know, Sonic characters, something like that.
Okay. I mean, it is reminding me very much, someone's just mentioned this in our live recording, of Popmaster on Radio 2 as well. There's another station I was thinking of, but Popmaster do the 3 in 10, which is 3 hits by an artist in 10 seconds and barely anyone ever gets it. So I am worried about this, but I'll give it a go.
You've got nothing to lose, Mike, except your dignity, and you could win 5 points.
Yeah, but my dignity, I mean, I haven't got anything.
Stop complaining.
You know what I mean? It's just, it's my brain doesn't work like this under pressure. Right, okay, go on, let's give a go. Come on.
I'm going to set a timer on my iPhone because we were going to try and, I was trying to convince Mike to put some like a music bed underneath this. Like, Al, do you know how hard that is to do? Al, it'll take me like 3 hours to make a 20 second music bed. Al, I'm really bad at my job. I can't make music quickly. Al, just no. So we're ditching the music bit and instead I can have my little phone with a timer that's going to just go, and then you're
so not only do I have to get this right for 5 points and I may lose even more dignity than I have, you're also insulting me. But anyway,
yes,
carry on.
All right. Your category, Michael, is characters from the Mario world in 20 seconds, starting now.
Princess Peach, Mario, Sonic, Bowser, Dr. Mario... I can't remember any of them. I don't know. I can't remember the names of things from Nintendo from the podcast that we do every week. I told you I can't do these games. Can we redo this?
No. No, you can't. And by the way, Sonic isn't in the Mario world. I'm just saying.
I didn't say Sonic.
You did. He was the fourth character you said.
Well, he's in the Mario Sonic at the Olympics.
Yeah, he's not in the Mario world, though.
I'm
not giving you that. You got four, Mike. You didn't even say Luigi. Toad. Yoshi. There's so many out there. Goomba.
Yeah.
A cactus. You could have said a cactus, Mike, and I would have given you a point for that.
Yeah, well.
Wow.
I can't, like, I mean, I genuinely am not good at those kind of things. Like, it's soon, all I can see in my head is Mario. I hate under pressure 10 seconds thing. Can you do another
Carrie
one with a different...
No, I can see we've got Carrie in our Discord right now. Carrie in our community is renowned as being less than enthusiastic. Yeah, well, obviously less enthusiastic about sort of the Mario generally. She loves Nintendo, but just can't say she's a massive fan of Mario. Even she's sitting here going, I could name 10, Mike. Just saying.
But I can't do these quiz. I told you, it's not how my brain works. So... yeah, thanks for that.
I'm feeling bad for you. I almost do want to try and give you an opportunity to at least win some points here.
Well, come on then, let's do it.
Just means you've got to come up with another category. Let's see.
Come on then,
okay.
I'm still going to fail, but okay. At least it means you can laugh.
I will
at me
give
more.
You this time. I'll only give you 10 seconds, but you'll need to no. I'm going back to 20 seconds and 10 because
right.
It seems like only.
Okay, okay. I'll concentrate better this time.
Okay.
Numbers of episodes in the Nintendo Switch UK podcast history. 1, 2, 3. No, okay.
No.
Carry on.
10 Nintendo Switch games.
Oh, Burnout Paradise, Breath of the Wild, Mario Kart. I really can't. Ni No Kuni, Mario Tennis, Mario Golf. Not even out yet. Mario Party, Mario Kart. I don't know.
You got 8, and then I took one off you because you did Mario Kart twice. So you got 7.
Don't like these pressure games.
I think,
and
we'll
you know, I know
better.
Like 1,000 Switch games, but
you
my
do.
Brain doesn't work like that. So.
No, to be fair, I don't know if I could get 10 and 10, but 10 and 20 even. But you gave it a valiant effort that time. That was better than your Mario characters.
Yeah, I don't think it was that good to be
well,
fair.
I'm afraid the score is still 10-8 in Anton's favour.
Okay, fine. All right, can I quiz you on one then? And if you get it right, then if you get 10 and 20, then I get 1 point. No,
why,
wait, if you
why
don't...
would I be working for you, Mike?
I don't know. Wait a minute. No, if you don't make it, then I get 1 point.
Sure. What? Why not?
Cool. Let's do it.
As long as
right.
It's not, but as long as it's not Sonic characters, because I don't know any.
No. It's all good. I just need to get my timer ready on the old. What's the thing? The timer on your iPhone called?
It's called the clock, and then you go to okay. Timer.
Right.
Like.
Got it. Okay. Sorry, I'm not a big brain like you. Stopwatch. Okay, right, 20 seconds. Are you ready?
No,
are
you ready for this?
Hang on. Oh, yeah, you can you do a timer so it goes down the way? Yeah, you can, can't you?
It's called timers at the far right.
Okay, good. Good. All right, basics. Are you ready?
Yes.
10 and 20 seconds, N64 games.
Okay, Super Mario 64, Blast Core, Mario Kart 64, GoldenEye, Perfect Dark, Viva Pinata, I think, no, it wasn't on there. Mario Golf 64, Mario Tennis 64, SimCity 64, Wave Race, and Pilot Wing 64. I thank you. 1 second
did
ago.
Did it with 1 second to go. I'm just showing the proof. Okay, let's not play this game ever, 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 ever again. And let's just do the traditional format from now on, please.
Oh, that was fun. I enjoyed that.
No, it wasn't fun. I did not enjoy any of it. And this part, unfortunately, will now be edited out of this week's episode. However, it has been a pleasure having your company. And remember, you can support us by heading to nsukp.co.uk/support-us. And you can see all the different tiers there. We have lots of other stuff that we do with the roundup. We have the prequel. We have the monthly expansion chat, which we haven't done for me yet, actually. So we should... we should definitely get on that. I'm looking forward to that, actually.
Yeah, we're supposed to be organising that for Monday, weren't we? Oops.
Yeah, well, we can either... Yeah, we can look at the dates and see what people are available. But it's all these extra things that you get if you sign up and join our Patreon. We also put the new mugs out recently, which I have one of them here with my... Do you know, I only realised... So on this particular mug, which is a limited edition, it has our Miis there from our Nintendo accounts. And I always thought that you deliberately made me tiny because... It was like a running joke that I'm tiny when I'm not actually that short. I am, but not that short. And it turns out that no, my actual me is that size.
Yes, it is awesome. I mean, the proportions of all of us are slightly off because Leona is pretty much the same height as me, and I'm pretty sure she's not the same height as me.
She's
but
definitely
it works
not.
With the mug. It's nice and balanced, and it's quite good fun. I can't wait to see what Anton comes up with for our next sort of product.
Yes, well, you get them as every 6 months when you're a member of our N64 tier, which all the money that we do get in, just for those that don't know, we put it all straight back into the podcast. We don't make any money from this. We do it because we enjoy it, apart from when Al does rogue quizzes. And Mike doesn't know how to use a timer or the alarm or the clock function on his iPhone that he's had for 12 years or whatever.
Or the knowledge of games that are in his head.
I know, but they're there. I just need more time to I can't do the pressure thing. I'm like, stop.
And yet you present radio for a living. Surely you've got to think on your feet constantly doing that.
Yeah, that's fine. That's okay. I could talk about anything. Basically what happens is if you talk enough around something, you get to the point. But if you're told to specifically say something, very difficult.
Sure.
End of show. We'll see you later. Goodbye.
Cheerio.